On the radio, you're sharing the services of the happiest church in the world. Happy when we're laughing, even happy when we're crying. And inexpressibly and unfathomably in love with Jesus our Lord, all of us. The title of the sermon is Christ, the Power of God. It is a presentation of a glorious text in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not that the message preached is foolish, but that the method God has chosen for the saving of the lost, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, that method of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto us who are called, and unto them who are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You could hardly place in one descriptive sentence more accurately the reception of the Christian message in the first Roman Christian century than in the summary Paul has made here. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, and the Greek word is scandalon, unto the Jews a scandal. To us, we have so glorified the cross, we have painted it, we have made it in silver and gold, and it has lost its executionary imagery. But it's the same thing to us today as we were to say that we glory in the electric chair or in the gibbet, in the hangman's noose. The cross was a dreadful, awesome spectacle in that day. And to the Jews, the preaching of the cross was a scandalon. It was a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, and the Greek word used here is moron, morion. One form of it, moron, foolishness, idiocy. To a man who was a university student or a graduate of the intellectual centers in Athens or Tarsus or Alexandria or Antioch, the preaching of the cross to those learned philosophers was an idiocy and a foolishness. But unto us who are saved, whether we are Jew or Greek, he is Christ the, and the Greek word used here is dynamite. He is Christ, the power of God, and the Sophia, the wisdom of God. Christ, the dynamite, the dunamin, the power of God. This last week, I have spent in Nova Scotia attending the sessions of which I'm a part of the Baptist World Alliance. The announcement came to me that it was going to be convened in Acadia University at Wolfville, which meant nothing to me, but when I arrived there, I found that Wolfville and Grand Prix are just side by side. And at Grand Prix, is the Evangeline National Park, the Acadian National Park. Acadia is a Mi'kmaq word, an Indian Mi'kmaq, the Mi'kmaq Indians. They called it Acadia because of the beautiful, fertile valley and meadow there. And Grand Prix is the French word for the same meaning of Acadia. Beautiful meadow, big meadow. There is the story of Evangeline when the British expelled those Acadians, the French settlers who lived there 100 years. And she and her husband-to-be were to be married. And that day, they were placed on ships and separated. And for the rest of her life, for over 40 years, she searched for him and found him dying in a plague. He died in her arms. That's Longfellow's Evangeline. And there in that national park is a glorious statue in bronze of Evangeline. And an unusual thing it is, when you look at her on this side with her head back and tilted as though reluctant to leave the home out of which they were expelled. When you look at her this side, she looks to be a girl about 16 or 17 years of age. But the artist has done an unusual thing. When you walk around and look at her on the other side, she's an old woman. The country is impressive. It's a magnificent land. And the Minas Basin, on which Grand Prix and Wolfville and the Acadian University are located, is a part of the Bay of Fundy. And I went up to the Bay of Fundy to look at it. The highest tides in the world are there. They rise sometimes beyond 60 feet high, the tides. And they have fishing weirs, which are unusual to me, gray walls of netting. And as the tide comes in and the current comes around, the fish are thrown against the net and they run down seeking escape into a great trap that itself is 60 feet high. And as I stood on the Bay of Fundy and just looked at it, these men who study say that that tide is made by the power of the moon. And standing there thinking of the invisible, omnipotent hands that reach down and pull the entire Atlantic Ocean up in the Bay of Fundy, 60 feet. In Panama, the tides there are 19 feet. And again, standing there, I thought of the invisible power of the Almighty that with just a small satellite like the moon reaches down and pulls the entire Pacific Ocean up 19 feet. It is fantastic. And yet, this power of God displayed wantonly, aboundingly, immeasurably, in the vast universe he's created, is as nothing compared to the power of God in Christ Jesus. The miracle of miracles is not the moon or the stars or the sun or the sidereal spheres, but the miracle of miracles is that God was in Christ, incarnate God, reconciling the world unto himself. Greater than in a miracle he ever performed, and greater than in a miracle recorded in the Holy Word, is the miracle of the Lord Christ himself. Oh, it is astonishing. It is amazing. It is unbelievable. It is a wonderment that God, who made the creation, should have been born as a babe, grew up as a man, and died for our sins in atoning grace. The miracle of the reality of the living presence and being and existence of Christ. Against that reality, against that fact of the living Lord, like pounding waves on the Bay of Fundy, atheism, agnosticism, materialism, secularism, false philosophy, false religion, false ideology, pseudoscience have beat through the centuries. And yet after the passing of the days and the years, there he stands, the living Lord, more wonderful and more alive, more glorious today than ever in past history. To the bigot, still a scandal and an offense. To the sophisticated, still an idiocy and a foolishness. But to us, by the increasing millions, he is Christ, the love of God, and the presence of God, and the reality of God, and the Word of God, and the way to God. He is still Christ, the power of God, and the hope of the world. He is Christ, the power of God to attract. Sunday before last, I preached at an evening service on the magnetic Christ. He is Christ, the power of God to attract. To me, it is no other thing than a miracle, the attractiveness of the spoken testimony in his behalf, the foolishness of preaching that saves them that believe. I think of my own ministry. I've been here 27 years. I preach 3 times a day. Suppose I were here in this place, lecturing on literature, or speaking on economics, or on any assignment that you could think of, and to do it for 27 years. Do you think the people would come? Do you think they'd be back? Why, after the first few weeks, the subject would have become so dry and dreary, the audience would have fallen apart in boredom. And yet, after 27 years, speaking on the same theme, Christ, the Savior of the world, people still come. And you're here. It is a miracle of God. Oh, how many times do I think that my fellow servants of Jesus in the pulpit make colossal mistakes in turning aside from the preaching of the cross and the blessedness of the goodness of Jesus in order to speak on book reviews and current events and economic policies and procedures and governmental programs. I stood in the presence of one of the great, great churches of the earth in one of our great cities and stood there looking at one of our mighty churches facing a great park in the heart of a vast city, and its days past written in glory and splendor, but today it is dead. And I picked up a program announcing their Sunday services. This first Sunday that is presented, a feature-length color film entitled The Wiretapper. The next Sunday, a presentation of members of the United States champion football team. The next Sunday, a presentation of a discussion under the Director of Community Redevelopment. The next Sunday, a gift, the gift, a drama by the Davidson Players. And the next Sunday, The King of Kings, motion picture by Cecil B. DeMille. Against none of those things would I have any objection. just saying that it is not the gospel of the dynamite of Christ. And my evidence for the judgment is that great church wrapped in a winding sheet, sepulchral, like a mausoleum, dead. There are many demarcations among men. They are old and young. They're black and white. They're educated and uneducated. They're rich and poor. But there is no demarcation among men in the power of the gospel to attract. The university professor in Cambridge, the lowest benighted Hottentot in Africa. The mountaineer in his cabin, with his little family making his way to church, or the plainsman on his pony. The rich man dealing in vast financial transactions. The beggar, a pilgrim with bare feet. The child in the kindergarten. I remember the little card class, the picture of Jesus, and the lesson that went with it when I was a little boy. The old man tottering to the grave. To all alike, there is a strange, invisible attractiveness in the preaching of the gospel of the Son of God. How to win the masses? Men of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. For the testimony of Jesus is still the spirit of prophecy. Christ, the power of God to attract. He is Christ, the power of God to convict and to convert. Oh, Lord, what a difference Christ has made in the earth. Statesmen have come and gone, remapping and remaking the political governments of the peoples. But the hearts continue on just the same. Military strategists and generals and leaders making war have marched their armies up and down and over the face of the earth. But the human heart has continued on just the same. Poets and philosophers have taught, come and gone, and the human heart continues on just the same. I cannot but think of the Greco-Roman world after the greatest philosophers who have ever lived taught their Hellenic thought, Greek thought, and left the world merciless and cruel. But this Jesus, wherever his name is loved, it's a new generation. It's a new hope. It's a new heart. It is another life. Last week, I was walking down a pathway through the university there with John Havlick of our home mission board. And he reminded me when I was president of the Southern Baptist Convention, a great group of students under a certain leader came to New Orleans where I was presiding over the convention to protest. Oh, they had it all set. And they had their illustrious professor at the convocation and invited everyone to attend and challenged anyone to respond. Well, John Havlick accepted the challenge. So the professor stood up there and in learned language, he attacked the Southern Baptist Convention and its churches and its pastors for preaching the gospel of Christ. When he said they ought to be wrestling with the social problems of the world. That was his thesis. Well, John Havlick said to me, you know, as I sat there and listened to him, and those students just pulled along with him. He said, I had it all prepared. And when he got through, I took that manuscript by which I had sought to contrive intellectual arguments to subvert and interdict what he'd said. He said, I took that manuscript and I tore it in two and threw it on the floor. When my time came, he said, I stood up there and I told them about what Christ had done for me and my family. He said, we were Bohemians. Come from Prague. We were Bohemians. Lived in a ghetto. And my father was vile and a drunkard. And our family was wretched and I hated my father. And upon a day, he said, I heard the gospel of the Son of God. And I was saved. I was saved. And he said, I love my father. And I love the pains of home and family that I once despised. And he said, the hands of the Lord lifted us up and out, put a song in our souls, praises on our lips, and we had a new home. And a new father, all of them coming to the blessed Jesus. Now he said, that is real social work. And John said to me, did you know when I got through, I had every one of those students with me. Every one of them. The power of God to convert. In my humble opinion, you can take this welfare and pour it into these people for 1,000 generations. And at the end of the 1,000th generation, they'll still be there with their hands out expecting somebody to feed them. And it will grow and grow and grow, and their children will expect somebody to feed them. And their children will expect somebody to feed them. But, oh God, if you could change the heart, if you could get them to Christ, there'd be a new home and a new dedication and a new pride and a new love and a new life. Christ, the power of God to convict and to convert. Why, there's no miracle in that universe. Ocean, mountain, star, Milky Way. There's no miracle in God's universe like this kind of a miracle. Saul breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, going to Damascus to heal them into prison and into death. And he meets Jesus in the way. And when finally he comes to Damascus, they lead him by the hand. The sight of that glory blinded his eyes. And he was a new man. He was Paul, the apostle. He is Christ, the power of God to save. So in his life, in the days of his flesh, If I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. Laying his hands on the lepers, they were clean. Saying to the thief by his side, today you will be with me in paradise. Christ, the power of God to save, in the book of Acts, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. There was great joy in that city. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over again. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And as the treasurer of Ethiopia, hearing the gospel, baptized, a convert now, a disciple of the lowly Jesus, he went on his way rejoicing. Christ, the power of God. I felt that. I look all around you. Monuments of grace. Trophies of God's love. Seated in front of you. Seated on either side of you. Seated back of you. Here, seated above you. Come and join us. We have found the pearl of price. We have found the treasure hid in the field. We have found the Savior of the world. We have found joy and everlasting life. We have found Jesus, our Lord. Come and rejoice with us. That's what it is to be a Christian. I found the Lord. I found the friend of friends. I found joy and gladness. I found someone who has all the answers. Christ, the power of God to stand by me in life, to raise me from the dead, to present me in heaven someday. I found the Savior of my soul. I've given my heart to Christ. Do it. Now. In a moment we shall stand to sing. And while we sing that hymn of appeal, you, somebody, you, I'm coming now. And here I am. Here I stand. In the balcony round, down one of these stairways. On the floor, on this lower floor, into the aisle and down to the front. Come, a family you, a couple you, or just you. Here I am, Pastor. I make it now. I'm coming now. Do it. Angels will attend you in the way when you come. That first step you make will be the greatest step you ever made in your life and the most meaningful. Try it. And see. Come. Give your heart to God. Believe and be saved. Wash and be clean. Look and live. Come. Make the decision in your heart now, wherever you're seated. In your heart, Lord, I open my heart to Thee. I give my life to Thee. Lord, bless and see me through. Make the decision now in your heart. And in a moment when you stand up, coming into that aisle or down that stairway and hear to the pastor. I make the decision now and I'm coming. While we stand and while we sing.